Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, we, thy children, acknowledge and recognize, Lord, that Jesus reigns, and we have come to adore thee. We adore thee and know that thou art King of kings and Lord of lords, and we simply just pray thee that our hearts would worship thee in spirit and in truth, that we would love thy word, that we would keep the truth, that we would be steadfast in our faith in thee, and that we would be, Lord, in thy by thy strength, Lord, strengthened with might from on high. And so we just pray thee now that thou'lt bless this reading and the meditation of thy word. Be thou among us in spirit, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. For this afternoon's reading, let's turn to the second epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Throughout the ages, since the time of Christ, there has been difficulty for the Christian all throughout time. The initial time after Jesus' resurrection, there was persecution against the Jews, the believing Jews in Jesus Christ. There was Roman emperors who made life very difficult for Christians at that time, and perhaps they were thinking that the Lord's return was imminent. Then there were the Dark Ages, as time went along, that there was no knowledge and knowledge was suppressed. And then there came a time that after hundreds of years where the Roman Catholic Church had ruled Europe, that there was a Reformation, and there was even a radical Reformation, and there was turmoil, and perhaps there was an expectation that certainly now at this time that Jesus Christ would return. Then we came into more recent times, and there was a world war, and then a second world war, where more people were killed during the second world war than in any other conflict. And perhaps they thought at this time, well, the Jews were certainly persecuted to a heavy degree, and there was probably an expectation that Jesus Christ was returning then, and time yet went on. And we now live in a time where there is much confusion, there is a desire for globalization and other things, and we may think to ourselves that surely the Lord's return is going to come soon. Perhaps, but maybe perhaps not. Perhaps not for another 1,000 years. The Lord knows. We don't know. No man knoweth that time. Only God the Father. But yet, a warning needs to go forth, and the scriptures need to be spoken of the Lord's return. And as we prepare for the Lord's return, that we know that in all things we need to glorify the Lord. In all things. And in the previous verse to this chapter, it says, "Let the name of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ, be glorified in you." That's our objective in this life, whether the Lord returns soon, very eminently, or not, that the name of the Lord would be glorified in us. That's what our objective in this life is that the name of the Lord would be glorified in us, that we point to the Lord in everything that we do. Jesus Christ needs to be glorified in us. So the Apostle Paul, along with Silas and Timothy, had written two epistles to the Thessalonians. And in chapter 4 of the previous, in the previous epistle, it says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." He was speaking of the Lord's return. And then in chapter 5, he says, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." There was an expectation that the Lord is coming. The Thessalonians were receiving this, and we read now in the first two verses of chapter 2 that they're beseeching them about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him, that they would not be soon shaken in mind or troubled. That wasn't the desire as they wrote this first epistle, that the Thessalonians would not be troubled in their spirit or shaken in their mind by the return of the Lord. That the day of Christ is at hand. And it was so much so that they had abandoned in their workplaces, and they were in expectation that the Lord must be coming soon because they had received this letter from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. But he continues on here, and he says, "No, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." He's saying, don't let anybody deceive you. If we go back to Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus is asked about the second coming and the end of the world, that's the first thing that Jesus says, is take heed that no man deceive you. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. And so the Apostle Paul, with Silas and Timothy, are writing here to the Thessalonians saying, don't let any man deceive you by any means. There are two things here that the Apostle Paul is saying that will happen before the Lord's return and our gathering together unto him. The first is that there will come a falling away first. That is one thing that needs to happen, and that the man of sin be revealed. These two things need to happen. They will happen before the Lord returns to gather his own to be with him forever and eternity. There will be a falling away, and that man of sin will be revealed. There will be a revelation of who this man is, who the Antichrist is. There will be a revelation of that. That will be revealed to all men. There were times in the time of Christ, there were those disciples, not the apostles, but those disciples that after they had been fed, they appreciated Jesus and they wanted to be with him. But after he had spoken to them of his teachings and of their requirement to receive his words to them that as spirit, because they were spirit and life, they walked away. There were disciples that walked away and didn't walk with Jesus anymore. And there was a falling away then. And certainly throughout time, there has been a falling away too. But here he's saying that except there's going to be a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed. He who opposes and exalteth himself above God, above all that is called God. He opposes God. This man of sin opposes God. And we know that to be Satan. We know that Satan himself opposed God and wanted to be like God. And we read that there in Isaiah 14, that he wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted to be as God and to be worshipped of God. And since he couldn't have that, he mimics God in every way. And so he opposes God and he exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is the Antichrist. He will show himself as such in this location. And so it's written to them, the Thessalonians, that remember not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. He's saying, I told you these things. The man of sin is going to be revealed, and there's going to be a falling away first before the Son of God comes again to claim his own. So he's recalling to their remembrance those things which he already had told them, and then he says, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Now we know. And now we know as well. Again, if this happens very soon, or if it happens millennia from now. That's God's prerogative, and he'll do it in his time. But there will be a falling away, and the man of sin will be revealed. And now we know that. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The mystery of iniquity has already worked. It's in effect. Sin is there. Sin was there at the time of Christ. Sin was there after Christ resurrected and ascended. Sin has been with us ever since Adam and Eve. But it will work, and it will continue to work until the power of God takes that away. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. When Jesus Christ comes again, that wicked one will be defeated. And we have great joy in that. We began the service with Jesus Christ reigns, let us adore him. We know the end of the story. We know that Jesus Christ reigns. We know that he is King of kings and Lord of lords, and that Satan cannot defeat him. We have that promise and that assurance, and we know what happens in the end. And ours is to be faithful to him, abide in the truth, and be steadfast in our walk of faith in the Lord. There will be deception there. But Satan will be defeated, and the Lord will destroy him, consume him with the spirit of his mouth and the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all powers and signs and lying wonders. This is a deceivableness that will reign and will be very, very strong, but Christ already told us of that. We already know that the Antichrist will have the ability to put on a deception that will deceive, even if it were possible, the very elect. Jesus Christ said there in chapter 24 of Matthew, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." And then Christ says, "Behold, I have told you before. You know It's not going to come as a surprise. There will be great signs and wonders that the Antichrist will be able to do. The Bible says that. And Jesus is saying, behold, I told you before, don't be deceived by it. There will be great signs and great wonders, but don't be deceived by it. In Revelation, there's a verse, and it's easy to remember because it's Revelation 13:13. Speaking of the Antichrist, the beast says, he doeth great wonders. There's going to be great wonders that he's going to do. Christ said it. The Apostle Paul had written to the Thessalonians that it will happen. And here the Apostle John is writing in Revelation. He doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven and on the earth in the sight of men. The men will see. There's fire coming down from heaven to the earth, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. The Antichrist will have power. There will be power that is given to him, and the power is to deceive. It's going to be very strong. We need to be aware of that. Jesus said, behold, I have told you. We need to be in expectation of it. We need to be comfortable with that fact that there's going to be deception. There's going to be deception. It's going to be very strong. We're well aware of the abilities of computers and the power, the computing power that they have today to build a hologram or other things that would be seem so very real. But it's fake. It's fake. It's deception. And these are things only that we know of. There are certainly things that are being manufactured or brought about today, built, that are going to be things that would be these great wonders and these miracles as fire coming down from heaven. But Jesus Christ has told us, behold, I have told you. Don't be deceived by it. Don't be deceived. There's going to be strong deception. Again, I want to say, we need to be comfortable with that fact that there's going to be strong deception. It should not surprise us. There will be that Satan would have power and signs and lying wonders. Wonders that are fake. Wonders that are not true. They're lies. But God will give us that wisdom at that time to understand that deception. He will be with us with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Deceivableness of unrighteousness. Jesus Christ, there on the Sermon on the Mount, said, take heed of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. That deception will come, and it'll seem like, well, they have our best in mind. They're looking out for our health, for our life, for our well-being. But inwardly, there are ravening wolves. They will seem polite. They will seem good. But Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And we know that. And so we are being warned here about the deceivableness of unrighteousness. These that are engaged in such activity, they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They aren't interested in the truth. Satan has deceived the world, and they aren't interested in the truth. They don't want the truth. The next verse says, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. They will believe a lie. Those who have not given themselves over to the Lord and are steadfast in their faith and believe the truth of God's word will be disillusioned. And they will believe a lie. Romans chapter 1 speaks of this delusion that God will send to them because they love to worship the creation more than the Creator. And it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And we know some of those things which are not convenient. We see it in our society today. That God gives them over to a reprobate mind. You don't want to know me? You don't want to follow my principles? You don't want to follow my precepts? You don't want to follow my commands? God says, I give you over to a reprobate mind. A foolish mind. A mind that has it so backwards. Because they had pleasure in unrighteousness. Then he says, but we. And this is where it changes. It speaks about the Antichrist and what he will, in the wonders that he'll be engaged in, and the man of sin, but and that he will be revealed, and Jesus Christ coming after that. Then he says, "But we are bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." This is the beauty that we have as children of God. Because God, from the beginning, the plan of salvation that we have is through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Sanctification of the Spirit. Being set apart to do what God would have us to do. That's sanctification. Being set apart for God's use. And we are sanctified by His Spirit. His Spirit prompts us. His Spirit teaches us. Be steadfast in your faith. Believe in the Lord. Believe the truth. Love the truth. And we're sanctified. Our plan of salvation, our path to salvation, is sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. That when Satan tries to bring his deception and his lies, that we will know the truth because we study God's Word. We look to God's Word. We understand His Spirit. We know that it is only the goodness and the love of God that will keep us, and that we desire and that we have experienced. Whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I began by saying that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be glorified in us. His name, in everything that we do, His name needs to be glorified in us. That's a desire that we have. And we share in that desire, and He gives us grace to fulfill that desire. But yet His glory is revealed in us as well. And we glory in this that the Lord has given unto us, that we obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We glorify Him, and He glorifies us. He gives unto us of his blessings. And Jesus Christ said in Matthew's gospel, "Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father." This is God's glory in us. This is what He's giving to us. This is the blessings of God. This is the God that we serve. The righteous. Those of us that have a desire just to simply do what God would have us to do, to be sanctified in the Spirit, to walk in faith, to have charity among ourselves. The righteous shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoso hath ears to hear, let him hear. These are the words of Jesus. And so we rejoice in this. We rejoice in this greatly, that we obtain this glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, therefore, because we enjoy these great blessings of the Lord, and he imputes them unto us, he gives them unto us, he implants them into us, he says, therefore, brethren, stand fast. Don't be deceived. Glorify the Lord. Stand fast in our faith. Have faith and have patience and faith in all the persecutions and tribulations that we might have to endure. Let our faith grow exceedingly. Let our charity of each other toward all abound. Stand fast. Let's not be deceived by what the Antichrist might bring, what this world might bring. Let's not be allured by it. Let's not be wowed by the miracles of Satan. But let's stand fast. Stand fast in the Lord, doing that which he had commanded us to do. He says, hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Hold that which is written here in God's word. Too often we associate traditions with practices, but here traditions is precepts, the precepts that he had written in the epistles and that he had spoken to them. Certainly practices change. The practices of the Thessalonians was likely different than those of Ephesus or Corinth or of Antioch or of Jerusalem or of today. But he's saying, hold the precepts. This is the Greek translation of this word, to hold the precepts. And so we look into these epistles, and we see these precepts. These precepts of exhortations and commandments that were given to the Thessalonians. He's saying, we exhort you that ye should walk worthy of God who called you into his kingdom and to his glory. Walk worthy of God. He is imputing unto us that we would shine as the sun in the kingdom of God. That we glorify him in everything. And so he's saying, walk worthy of him. This is an exhortation. These are the precepts that he's telling them to keep. And for us as well. He says, furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you. These are the precepts that the exhortation is coming by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. We need to please God in everything. This is what he's telling them. Keep this. Be steadfast in this. Grow in this. Please God and do it more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, there were commandments, precepts, exhortations that were given to them, and they were told to keep them. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that being set apart for the use of God, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. These are the commandments that they were told to keep. These were the traditions, the precepts that they were told to keep. That ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Those were the words that they commanded them, and they had written them in the epistle as well. Study to be quiet, do your own business, and work with your own hands so that you can give to others. And then in chapter 5 he says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. There's a warning that should go out to those who would not walk in a steadfast way of faith, walking worthy of the Lord. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. These are the things that we should be focusing on. Yes, there's going to be deception out there, and it's going to be very strong. Yes, there's going to be a lot of noise in the world. Yes, there's going to possibly be persecution and tribulation. But he's saying here, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and among all men. And then he launches into these bullet points where he's saying, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold that which is fast, abstain from all appearances of evil. These are the things that he's telling us to keep. Be steadfast in that. These are the things that we should focus on. Whatever it is that Satan would be bringing our way. And there's another exhortation, another commandment, and it's given by in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in the next chapter, chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians. It says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition or these commandments which he received of us. So that's the exhortation. These are the precepts that God is calling us to. Focus on the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. Don't be deceived. There's going to be great wonders that the evil one will bring about. Stand fast in the Lord. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father does for us. This is the things that we glory in. We glory in the Lord. He gives unto us the ability to have his righteousness imputed unto us, and we shine forth as the sun, and then we glorify the Lord in everything that we do because we are sanctified. We are set apart for the Master's use. And so the Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father, they love us. They love us. They give unto us an everlasting consolation. An everlasting consolation. Not one that ebbs and flows, that comes and goes. An everlasting consolation and good hope. A good hope. This world doesn't have hope. They don't know it. They can't experience it. All they know is turmoil and insecurity. But we have a good hope. We have a good hope through grace. He comforts our hearts. This is what God gives unto us, God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Comfort for our hearts. And establishes us in every good word and work. These are the things that God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ does for us. And we rejoice in him. And we give him honor and we give him glory. We let Jesus Christ be praised. He reigns. Let us adore him. Let's not be fooled by the deception that the Antichrist will bring our way. It'll be strong. Again, I want to say it again, perhaps even for the third time this afternoon. We need to be comfortable with the fact that there's going to be very, very strong deception in this world. That cannot surprise us. That cannot take us off guard. We need to know that Jesus Christ told us before, there's going to be strong deception. We believe the truth. We walk in the truth. And he blesses us. Revelation chapter 22, the last book of the Bible, the last chapter of the Bible, says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that fulfill those precepts, that stand fast in the Lord, that fulfill those exhortations and the commandments. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. When Satan is defeated and he is put place in the bottomless pit, and the King of Kings reigns and reigns forever, we will have an entrance into the everlasting kingdom administered unto us. And we will have the right to the tree of life. And we will enter in through the gates into that city, that everlasting city, through those gates that are made of pearl, whose foundations has 12 foundations, where there is no need of the sun. That's where we'll enter in. But we're to be patient until the Lord returns. Patient and waiting on him. And so, here at the end of the chapter, it says, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
When you get down to it, Satan's qualifications for joining his band, it's quite a low bar. All you have to do is just ignore the truth and take pleasure in unrighteousness. When you think about the things that the world enjoys, things that even Christian friends enjoy, it makes you wonder if we're maybe not a little bit closer to this than we realize. And for the Lord to be part of his salvation is to receive the love of the truth. Jesus told Pilate that he had come forth to bear witness to the truth. And all who hear the truth hear him. How did he end the Sermon on the Mount? Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Jesus has given us sufficient warning. May we heed his voice and hear his truth. Amen.